Good morning, Cooks.
Good morning.
On behalf of the minister in the session and the staff, welcome to Cooks Church, to the congregation and those on our streaming platform as well. I have the announcements for this morning. First, we would like to extend our sincere appreciation and welcome to the Reverend Dr. Tom Labonte for bringing today's message. And this is Jason's on study leave, so it's good to have Dr. Labonte back with us. He's family. The Reverend Labonte did his pastoral internship here at Cooks Church some 15, 20 years ago, and is now honorably retired PCUSA pastor. Most recently, he has served as a part-time assistant pastor for congregational care at the Bethel Presbyterian Church for several years, and as a part-time transitional pastor at Kings Mountain. Tom and his wife, Staran, have been married for 51 years and have two daughters. Next announcement, the beautiful flowers this morning are in loving memory of my wife, Joan Todd Thompson, in honor of my children, Alan, Donnie, and Joni, and in memory of Mark from Norman Thompson. This morning, we will receive the Pentecost offering. To contribute to this offering, you can do so by putting your donation in one of the Pentecost envelopes that are on the pew rack. Pentecost celebrates the renewal of the relationship between God and the community of faith through our gifts to this offering. We are here to help build a foundation of faith in our youth, which will last a lifetime. If you'd like to read more about this offering, there is a pamphlet on the table in the narthex you can take with you and do so. We will be collecting non-perishable food items for Nourish Up, which was formerly Loaves and Fishes, today and next Sunday, today 19th and next Sunday the 26th. Collection boxes are in the narthex and also in the Ed Building entranceway. We will also collect the 10 cents a meal offering next Sunday during our worship time. Thank you for helping us feed the hungry with these two missions. There is no Cooks Cares cooking class this afternoon, as Jason, again, is on study leave. And the prayer team meeting today will also be canceled, and also next Sunday. Both of those will resume on June the 2nd. The adult Bible study, on the other hand, will be on being an authentic church. We'll meet tonight, May the 19th at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary, and we hope you will join us. So they will not meet next Sunday, May 26th, due to Memorial Day weekend, but will resume on June the 2nd as well. So they will meet today, they won't meet tomorrow, and they'll pick back up on June the 2nd. It's time now for a passing of the peace of Christ. Please greet your fellow members and guests for the next few minutes and pass the peace of Christ with each other by saying, "Peace be to you," and or responding, "And with you also." Once the music starts again, please return to your seat for our call to worship. Thank you. Thank you,
brother. Hey, brother. How you doing, man? Good to see you. It's good to be back. How's the family? Gotta be near the grandkids. How you doing? Glad we're going to do the call to worship.
There you go. We gather here as one family in Christ to worship our loving, forgiving God. He knows us intimately, loves us unconditionally, teaches us the way we should go, and comforts us in time we need. He is our Father God.
Praise God, the source and sustainer of life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Silas. It's always good to have the young people involved in worship, don't you think?
Yes.
Absolutely. Good job. Appreciate it very much. It's good to be back with you. And as I mentioned to Reg from nearly 20 years ago, I still remember where people sat in this congregation. And back then, I could just do a quick scan and I knew who was here and who wasn't. And, you know, those habits don't die out, do they? Because those of you who were here back then, you're sitting in the same places, so it's all good. And for those of you who are new, you're sitting in the seats of where saints have sat. So good to be back with you, and let's go to the Lord now with our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we pray for your blessing on Cook's Church and on this place where we worship together as one family. Here may the faithful find salvation and the careless be awakened. Here may the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. Here may the tempted find help and the sorrowful comfort. Here may the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. And here may the aged find consolation and the young be inspired. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I believe now we have our first hymn, number 89 in the Brown Hymnal, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And if you're able, please rise.
Say
In Reformed tradition of 500 years, before we hear the word read and proclaimed, we always go to the Lord to cleanse our hearts and minds so that we may hear and act upon the word that is proclaimed. So this morning, join me as we raise our petition to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our prayer of confession. God, with a Father's heart, you gather us as your children. You comfort and hold us in your warm embrace. When we hurt, your arms enfold us. When we are afraid, your wings protect us. When we are hungry, you feed us with the bread of life. Your love surrounds and supports us in good and tough times, in the midst of joy and pain, always and everywhere. You will neither leave nor abandon us. God, eternal and loving one, we thank you this day for being part of your family. Forgive us when we refuse your embrace, spurn your love, and become prodigals in your family. And now, Lord, hear our individual silent prayers of confession. Lord, hear these, our individual silent prayers of confession. Amen. In the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, know that all sins are forgiven when we come to him in faith and love, confessing what is burdening our hearts and our minds. And for that, we truly give thanks to God. Amen. Now we affirm our faith by singing the Creed. I believe now it is children's time, and please be seated.
I know there's a few of you out there.
Now, you know, if you're under 90, you can still come forward, you know, right?
Come on, Hayden. I see you. Good morning. Well, school will be over soon, won't it? Yes, it will be. I know Hayden graduated from play school last week. Wow. Why is everybody wearing red today? Because it's Pentecost Day. The name Pentecost comes from a Greek word, Pentecost, which means 50th. It's always celebrated on the 7th Sunday after Easter, which is 50 days after Easter. But Pentecost moves just like Easter is not always on the same Sunday each year. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary, mother of Jesus, and the apostles of Jesus while they were in one place during the Feast of the Weeks. They were celebrating the end of the grain harvest. And it marks the beginning of the Christian church's mission to the world. I take this mission very to heart because Jesus has commanded that we go forth and make disciples of all nations. And that's what I feel like when we go to Kenya, is that's what we're doing. But I want you to look at the banner right there. Okay, the dove represents the Holy Spirit coming down. But there's flames down below. The disciples were now clothed with power from on high, and they could overcome their fear and wouldn't run away as they had when Jesus was crucified. They ran away and hid because they were so afraid. But they were sent the Holy Spirit. And when they were in this room, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and divided tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues rather than their own native languages. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit abides with you and in you. So we need to remember that, especially today. When I go to Kenya, I wear this necklace. And the children ask me, what does it mean? And I tell them, well, this part represents God. This part represents Jesus, the Son. And this part over here represents the Holy Spirit. So I try to let them know what it is that we as Christians believe. And the Holy Spirit is in you. So I hope you'll remember that. And when you see these banners up here, that will remind you too. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Let us not be fearful and rely on the Holy Spirit when we need him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week.
I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My Holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, child of the King. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Amen. That was awesome. Thank you. I have to tell you, folks, you have an excellent musical program here at this church, because I get around to a number of churches preaching, and I have to say you are richly blessed here, not only with the choir, but with all who volunteer and serve you, as it has been here for many, many years. So now let's go to the Lord for a prayer of illumination as we hear the word read and proclaimed. Lord of all creation, illuminate us with the fire of the Spirit to be ever seeking your will and purpose for our lives. Enable us to hear your voice speaking to us in Scripture and to proclaim your gospel by our words spoken and by our actions. Grant that I proclaim your word rightly and in truth. Amen. Now I have to say, Petey did an excellent job with the children's program. And what I really could do is say amen and move on, but I will do my best to add on to what she illustrated to us. So the promised land given by God to the 12 tribes of Israel have always been problematic. They have a history of conflict, of disobedience to God, of being punished, and it's a ravaged and terrible situation over many, many years. Hundreds of years. But because of the unwillingness and the lack of faith of the people and their disobedience to the Lord and not following the Sinai covenant, the Israelites are conquered and lose their freedom, first to the Assyrians, who come in and ravage Jerusalem and take the people away, and then later again several hundred years later by the Babylonians, who again take the people into bondage. In Ezekiel 37:14, God, through the prophet, promises. And here's, this is very critical. In spite of their disobedience, God does not abandon them. Here's what Ezekiel says to the people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. So God puts the spirit within Ezekiel to prophesy to his people. They are not forgotten. You have not lost the love of God. He is still with you. Have faith, return to that faith, and then all will be fulfilled as promised. So Ezekiel is prophesying this to these people that they will come back home. Now the problem here is that in the first century, the Jews again are invaded, this time by the Romans and the Roman Empire. Now they face a new challenge because the Romans set up Judea as a province of the empire under Roman rule, with Roman gods, with Roman officials and Roman laws, and they are severely afflicted in their faith because of it. And due to the Roman occupation, all of the cities along the coastline of Israel into the interior have Roman law, Roman governors, Roman officials and officers. And the issue here is now people from all over the Roman Empire are coming to the Holy Land to be part of this opportunity, this new land, this new place where they possibly will thrive. What do they bring with them? Their gods, their religion, and their language. So the issue here is for the disciples of Jesus, as long as they're dealing with Jews, there are no language problems. Everybody speaks Aramaic, a derivation of Hebrew. But now they're surrounded by all these Greeks and all these Romans and all these people from so many different areas of the world that they have an issue. And the issue is language. So there's a different story here when the resurrected Jesus commands his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Oh, I think I skipped the Ezekiel 37 reading, didn't I? I think I need to go back a step. I get too enthusiastic up here. So in Ezekiel 37:14, God through the prophet promises, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. So the issue of language now is one that as the disciples and others begin to preach the word, they need to figure out how they can overcome that barrier. And in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, we read from Jesus, go forth and spread the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now the disciples, being Jews, have a serious language issue. It's a barrier. How can they go out to all these areas of the Roman world where Latin and Greek and all these minor other languages are spoken? How can they carry the word as Christ has commanded them? But Jesus promises that when he ascends to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth to come upon his disciples, and they will therefore be able to spread, to share the good news. They'll be given everything they need to know, do, and say to carry forth that gospel. So on the evening of his resurrection, as recorded in John 20, verses 19 to 22, Jesus blesses his disciples with the gift of the Spirit. This fulfills the promise he made to them in John chapter 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now Jesus commissions his disciples, as the Father has sent me, now I send you. And Jesus breathes upon each disciple and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit now is within them so that they have the call and they have the ownership and the discipleship to go forward without fear. So the events of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, will fulfill Jesus' promise of the gift of the Spirit upon the community of the faithful now gathered in Jerusalem. Hear again God's word. When the day of Pentecost came, the faithful in Christ were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them all declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. So in the time of Jesus, Pentecost is a holy celebration observed 50 days after the feast of Passover. And a huge crowd, numbering up to 1 million pilgrims, come from all over the known world to Jerusalem to celebrate this great opportunity. Followers of Jesus, being faithful Jews, gather to feast and will experience this Pentecost in a new and different way. And as they assemble together with Simon Peter, suddenly the Spirit comes from heaven with the sound of a mighty wind that we might put into our context sounding like a tornado, surrounding the room with the sound of this wind, which is the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And this wind is the breath of God. Then a tongue of fire rests on the lips of each of the believers, and the wind surrounds them. So here the Holy Spirit gives what we call the gifts of tongues to empower them to witness to Jesus Christ. The Spirit enables each to think and speak and teach the love of God in fresh and inspired ways. I don't know, can you imagine being the recipient of this kind of a miracle? Thinking about what's happening to you, wondering what this wind is all about, these tongues of fire coming at you and coming on your lips. I'm sure in the immediate moment they were terrified. But then as the Spirit filled them, they understood they were on a mission. They were on a mission from Jesus. Now they need to go out and carry this good news and sharing this great blessing. So the faithful in Jesus are inspired to go out into the city and immediately speak and understand any language spoken to them. The foreigners whom they meet can hear and understand them clearly. They say to one another, this is really interesting, "How are these common Galileans able to speak to us fluently in our native tongue? No one has ever heard or seen of such a phenomenon." The educated elite in Jerusalem, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and temple scribes, are amazed. And actually, the word in Hebrew means they are in stunned disbelief, because they've always viewed Galileans and people who follow Jesus as very common, uneducated people of the land. In Hebrew, they're called the ha'aretz, people who work the land, people who get their hands dirty making a living. They're not real educated, but they are the people who are the heart of Judea. So for the sophisticated elite in Jerusalem, these poor country rubes, illiterate, uneducated, it's beyond their comprehension how they can speak pure Greek, Italian, all these other different languages and be understood completely. How is this possible for these people to do this? Now, there's always a smart aleck or smart alecks in every crowd, so some of them say, well, you know, I think they've probably been hitting the bottle. They've probably been hitting the wine a little bit too hard. What you're hearing is the crazy talk of people who have just drank too much and they're babbling nonsense. In other words, they've received a different kind of spirit and they can't hold their liquor. So why should we listen to them if they can't hold their liquor and they're babbling all this stuff? And you know, it is as true then as it is today that people will attempt to minimize and hold up to ridicule what they do not understand or refuse to believe. In Acts 2, verses 14 to 21, the well-educated in the crowd are debating what has happened. Simon Peter speaks to what they experienced, explaining it is the fulfillment of prophecy made by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Here again, the word of the Lord. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only, in Hebrew, the third hour. It's only 9 a.m., folks. No, this is not what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Remember, Peter is a fisherman. He is not well educated, trained, or experienced as a speaker. He is not known as a great orator or preacher. And it would not be natural for him to speak in front of a crowd numbering probably in the thousands, trying to figure out what's going on. But on this Pentecost morning, he has been filled with the Spirit so that he can proclaim God's word to all of these thousands upon thousands of people who are trying to figure out what's going on with these disciples of Jesus. And he preaches, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with courage and conviction, speaking to the prophecy of Joel. Joel preached hundreds of years before that believers will receive the gifts of the Spirit needed to proclaim and live by the Word of God. And this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. So Peter addresses the crowd, arguing about what they have seen and heard. And he says, wait a minute, the followers of Jesus are not drunk. I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, guys. It's too early, even if they were hitting the bottle, to be drunk. So give us a break, you know? This is something more than drinking wine. And in this message, he's basically saying, listen to what I need to tell you. And in Acts 2:14, Peter preaches this miracle of speaking in tongues as the work of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson here for each of us. If you are ever teaching or delivering the Word of God in a church, you have nothing to worry about. If beforehand you pray for the Spirit to guide you in what you will say and do, everything will follow without worrying for a single moment. So Simon Peter declares to the crowd, "You have witnessed the Spirit of God coming upon these men to do His will and giving them the gift of tongues to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. These gifts of the Spirit will be given to every generation of followers, and it will serve to unify them in their faith and love." So Peter delivers an eloquent explanation of these gifts of God. Now, I believe if after doing all of this, one of his friends would have come up to him and congratulated Peter and said, "I don't know how you had the ability to do that." I think Simon Peter in humility would have said, "I know I don't have the ability to do that, but I was inspired by the Spirit to proclaim His message. And if the people hear it and understand it and live by it, then what we have done here fulfills the prophecy of Joel and the will of Jesus Christ, our Lord." So I wonder today, if we were sitting in that room or we were sitting here this morning and all of a sudden the windows blew out and a wind came in here and tongues of fire came upon our lips, how would we react? I think we might be just a bit shocked and surprised until we try to figure it out. And I think possibly in our past, we have had a similar experience, maybe not quite as profound as that or as startling as that, but maybe we had an experience that was a great awakening for us that can help us better understand the impact of this moment by the Holy Spirit. For example, how many of us have gone to a concert where the music was so powerful and uplifting that it truly lifted up our spirit? Maybe it was a symphony at the Belk or the Magic of Christmas program or a program with a famous singer. You may have been among thousands in an outdoor experience, as I had with my 12-year-old daughter one time. Or maybe it's within a huge cathedral or within a football stadium. But the power of the music just fills our soul. And maybe the crowd includes different races and political parties and religious groups, people with different styles and tastes in music, but yet there's something about that music that touches us here and touches us here, and we begin feeling it and living it and trying to live by it. And everybody in the pavilion or place with you is sharing this common experience. And when the concert is over, everyone leaves reflecting on the power of that moment. And it stays with you for that evening, through the next day, maybe even for weeks or beyond that. And family and friends will want to hear about this experience as you share it with them. And they will want to know more. Why did this happen? How did this happen? Tell us about how it felt. And then you'll know how the disciples felt on this Pentecost moment when they knew that Jesus Christ had reached out and touched them in the Spirit and changed their lives forever. So maybe my example doesn't convey the power and majesty of the Pentecost experience, but I hope it gives you some feeling of what they experienced and how they were willing, particularly the disciples of Christ, to continue to go out knowing they face certain death. And other than John, every one of Christ's disciples were crucified for their faith and died knowing that they had encountered the risen Lord, when if they had renounced Him, they could have lived. Not one of them took the easy way out. So what gift is it as Christians that we share together? I think one gift is living in and receiving and giving to others this love of Jesus Christ that His disciples felt and that I hope we feel this morning, today. This is a love that inspires us to follow and do our best to live in Him. A love that we want to share in our experiences with others, in our family, with our friends, with those whom we may encounter, giving them hope that there is love. And if ever there was a time in the life of this country when we need hope and we need to feel love and we need to know that there's a future for us, that future is in the life and love of Jesus Christ. So the experience of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 reminds us that just like Simon Peter, we're given the confidence and the spiritual tools to overcome barriers this world and our society and maybe our politicians on some levels try to convince us that we should not do. There are no excuses or reasons why we do not step up and share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's so many people that need to hear that message. Jesus expects that we will have the faith and the willingness to do our best to fulfill our commitments to God and to our neighbor. You know, it's up to us, you and me, to seek out and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, maybe in a whisper within or through the encouraging words of a friend or a family member, and then to obey. It's up to us, to you and me, to have the courage of our faith to speak and act in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, serving God with an open heart. And when we hear and feel this call to Christian service, let us not hesitate. Jesus says, "I am with you until the end of time." There is nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. There is every opportunity because I am with you even until the end of time, he says. So thanks be to God for the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, to the Church of Jesus Christ, and to all who believe. Amen. Father and Lord of all creation, make us ever mindful of your word prophesied, that you would place your spirit within those who believe and put their trust in you. By your grace, we share in the blessings of the Spirit given to your faithful followers on the day of Pentecost long ago. Help us to use the gifts you have given us to your purpose and for your glory in spreading the gospel of your Son, the Christ, in all aspects of our lives. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the table of our Lord and Savior who invites all who believe in him to partake of the feast which he has prepared. Remembering that access to this table is not a right conferred upon the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come to him in faith, repentance, and love. In seeking Christ in this sacrament, we have confessed our sins and brokenness. We are to continue to seek reconciliation with God and our neighbor. And we are to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for cleansing and renewal. With great thanksgiving, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, won for us victory over death, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. Seated at your right hand, He leads us to eternal life and is with us always as he promised. We praise you that Christ now reigns in glory and will come again to make all things new. As we partake of the promise of the good news proclaimed by your Son, we ask your blessing on these elements, symbolizing the body and blood of the risen Christ. Amen. Will the serving elders please come forward? The Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal and arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, remember me." And every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I ask you to please hold the elements until all are served. I'm going to ask you to hold the juice until we serve the bread and do it at one time. This is the bread of life. This is the bread of life. This is the blood of Christ. Well, those are in there. The blood of Christ. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. And this is the blood of Christ. Take and drink. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we ask your blessing on all those on the prayer list needing medical and spiritual healing. In addition to those currently listed, I ask that you also include Sarah Yarborough, who fell Friday and has broke her pelvis in two places. She's at Novant, Maine. And I ask your blessing upon all those currently on the prayer list with whom we have lifted up to you. Ask your blessing upon the elders and others who serve in this church for their leadership and support, all those who serve the poor, the needy, and the stranger. We give thanks, Lord, that you have given us Jesus Christ as our strong rock of refuge to whom we can always go. And ask, Lord, that in every way possible, we live according to his gospel, serving the people, doing our best to be true witnesses to Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we render unto you, Father, the prayer Jesus commended to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is now a brief time of reflection on both the sermon and the giving of gifts. Please feel free to use the QR code in the bulletin for donations as well as the collection plate in the narthex. And thank you all for supporting this church, not only with your finances, but with your time, your talent, your energy, and your prayers. Truly, this is Berith Adonai, the house of the Lord. Let us go forth as true disciples of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the good news of his gospel, not only by our words, but how we live the Christian life. And know that you and all those who you encounter will be richly blessed. And now depart to serve.
Yeah.